Good morning, everybody.
Good
morning. Randy makes me blush. He makes me blush. It's a very kind word. So I'm Aaron Wentz. My wife, Tanya, is here with me. Tanya, raise your hand. So come on over and say hi. So I get the opportunity to be on the campus of Michigan State University and do stuff around the world. And we're going to talk this morning about God's miracle and his mission. God is still doing miracles, and that's not just a metaphor. God is literally doing miracles around the world, and all of us can participate in his mission. So before I explain that to you, I'd like to introduce my family to you. So this is my family. I have two children, Kael and Kasiah, and my son Kael is married to Brittany, and this summer they had their first child, Adeline, and so we are now grandparents. We're in the grandparent world. I know I look 25, but no, so beautiful Adeline, and if anybody here is a grandparent, please offer me some advice. We're in the grandparenting stages, and so looking forward to that part of our life. So as Pastor Randy said, I have a really unique ministry that I'm on the campus of Michigan State. I've been there 13 years. And then I'm zooming around the world, discipling and helping leaders reach out around the world as well. My mission organization is called Reliant Mission. And so when I come, I have this dual purpose in my heart to help you lift your eyes to heaven, to be encouraged with God's word, and at the end, I'd like to just share a little bit about our ministry. So if you don't mind, could I pray and invite again God's presence to open our hearts? Jesus, you are the one true God. By the Holy Spirit, open our hearts to hear you this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Well, we're going to talk to you this morning a few points. The first point is the miracle of becoming born again. Jesus had many followers, and he had women followers, men followers. And what's exciting about the Bible is that much of it is in story form. It's real people encountering real problems in real life. It's exciting. An example would be one man by the name of Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' followers, and he was like, Jesus, I am going with you all the way. I'm never going to deny you. And then at the last minute, under pressure, what did Peter do? He backed away. And he said, I don't even know him. The power of that is just hours later, Jesus was literally being crucified outside the walls of Jerusalem. Can you imagine denying your Lord and knowing that the roar of the crowd is because your Lord is literally being killed and you just denied him? That's Peter. We know that the Apostle John was at the foot of the cross, Mary was at the foot of the cross, but where is Peter? We're not sure. So imagine the shame he was under, right? I mean, so these are real stories of real people, and there's been real moments in my life under pressure that I'm like, I think I'm a Peter. I think if I was in that moment, I'd probably back away too. I think that's in my heart too. Cowardice is in my heart too. Well, a few days later, women go to honor Jesus and give him a proper burial, and Jesus' body is missing. And they go to the disciples and say, he's missing. They run to the tomb, and then one by one, Jesus starts to appear to his followers. And then Easter Sunday night, John chapter 20, they're all together, and Jesus instantly shows up in the room and goes, boo! I'm just kidding. But that'd be pretty shocking, wouldn't it? Boom! Jesus is in the room, like, whoa! That's amazing! John chapter 20. If that's not amazing enough, I mean, that's the cornerstone of Christianity. That's the gospel. That Jesus Christ lived the life we should have lived. He died a death we should have died in our place. And then 3 days later, rose from the dead to prove who he was. Well, we think of that as the good news, which it is, but it actually gets better. It gets more advanced. It gets exciting. That did you know that Jesus said, it's better that I leave? Excuse me, say that again. It's better that I leave because someone's coming. Who's that? Another counselor is coming. So in John chapter 14, verse 17, this is the night before Jesus dies, and I'm sure Peter had no clue what he was talking about. But in John chapter 14, verse 17, this is Jesus talking, and he says, the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and is in you. Huh. I'm sure that took Peter a while to figure out, but Jesus was saying the God that sees you, the God that is always with you, is going to come in you. Huh. So Jesus had to pay the debt first. Christ can't live inside an unclean vessel. So Jesus goes to the cross, pays our sin debt, satisfies God the Father, rises from the dead, and now says, here's another gift, it's the Holy Spirit. And he's not just going to live with you, he's going to be in you. Wow. So God is going to be in us through the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus said, hey, Peter, I want you to feed my lambs, Peter was like, okay. So years later, he writes an epistle. He writes a letter to Christians, which are now in northern or in part of Turkey. He writes a letter to these Christians in Turkey, which is now called 1 Peter. Peter writes this letter to encourage them. So if you were Peter, and you've seen all this stuff with Jesus, like, what would you say? I mean, there's a lot to say. So Peter emphasizes something that's really, really important. And so what he emphasizes is the miracle of becoming born again. It was so influential in Peter's life, this transformation happened, that he went from cowardly Peter to bold Peter to courageous Peter. Well, how did that happen? He became born of the Spirit. The God that was always with him, now is in him. That's the miracle of New Testament Christianity, the God that is always with you becoming in you. So he writes this letter to these Christians in modern-day Turkey, and he says this, in his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So Peter is saying because Jesus is alive, he is giving people new birth. New birth here is the same word for becoming born of the Spirit, born again. The God that is with you can come in you. So he's writing to these Christians saying, hey, you've experienced a new birth too. I've experienced a new birth too. And then Peter repeats himself in verse 22 and 23. He says, love one another deeply from the heart, because you have been born again. So he says it twice. The miracle that happened to me is now happening to you. So that's kind of my story. I was raised in Flint, Michigan. I went to a mainline church. And if you would have asked me as a young man, Aaron, do you believe in God? Yes. Aaron, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. And I thought, well, that's Christianity, isn't it? But there was something missing. I wasn't born again. So when I was 18, I went through a hard time, and I did something pretty amazing. That I look back at it now, it's like, I bowed my knee to the Lordship of Jesus. In my heart, my whole life, I was on the pedestal of number one, and Jesus was on the pedestal of number two. So in humility, I took second place. And I said, Jesus, you're Lord now, not me. And something amazing happened. I became born again. How do Christians in church not change? How do Christians in church not have their heart transformed? Because you have to humble yourself and take second place. And when that happens, Jesus says, thank you very much. And you open your heart to him, and he breathes life into you, and you become born of the Spirit. It's a miracle. So cowardly Aaron became zealous Aaron for Jesus. How did that happen? I became born again. And that can happen to you, and that's what happened to Peter. So in between verse 3 and verse 23, listen to this. So verse 3 and between verse 23, Peter writes this as an encouragement. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Though you have not seen him, Jesus, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. It's like, huh. There's no ChatGPT, there's no YouTube, there's no Facebook, there's no Amazon Prime, and they probably didn't have a complete Bible in their hands. So how in the world did these early Christians in modern-day Turkey say, even though I haven't seen him, I love him, and I'm filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy? You know how that can happen? The Holy Spirit was breathed into them. When you take second place and you make Jesus Lord, let me just quote this verse for you. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say believe in Jesus. It says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, so that was my problem. I believed, but he wasn't Lord. And the moment I said, Jesus, you're Lord, and I took second place, he breathed the Holy Spirit into me. And I had joy. It was inward. I've had this love for Jesus. And I've done hard things and been to hard places and preached the gospel to angry people. And I stood my ground, not because I've been to school or I'm great, it's because the Holy Spirit's inside of me. And how could these early Christians with barely any education say, I have an inexpressible and glorious joy? Because they're born again. And I just want to give the young people here some encouragement and the parents here some encouragement. As Americans, we want our kids to do well, to be successful, to be happy. That's what we want. And yes, I want to raise the bar a little bit. I think we can raise that bar even more. Do you know what could happen to your children? It's in God's hands. But what could happen to your children and your grandchildren and to you young people? Do you know what could even be better than that? Your kids and your grandkids, by introducing them to the gospel, and they become born again, your children and your grandchildren can experience a supernatural joy that will be in them. So why do you take your kids to church? Why do you take them to youth group? Why do you take them when they don't even want to go, when they complain to you? Because you're believing for the God to touch their life so they can be born again, so they can experience an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's the vision. I had a famous preacher stand in front of me at Moody Bible Institute and say, get ready, storms are coming. I'm like, I'm 21 years old, I don't think so. I didn't know nothing. Zippo. Well, we've been to mental hospitals, we've been to cancer wards, and we've been to funerals. It's called life. And there's something you young people need and us parents need for our children. Though you haven't seen him, you love him. How's that possible? They're born of the Spirit. That's how that's possible. Believe for your kids to be born again. Believe for your grandkids to be born again so they can experience an inexpressible and glorious joy. Well, the question becomes, how does someone become born again? How does that happen? Is it just like chance or like how does it happen? It's the miracle of the Word of God. Peter goes on to explain how someone can experience this new birth. So 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 23, Peter goes on to say, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." So big idea, you've been born again because of the Word of God. Somebody has to hear the training manual to know how to get born again. So what does it mean when he says, you haven't been born of perishable seed? What does that mean? We're here today because we have a mom and we have a dad, right? Physical parents gave us physical life. Physical seed gave us physical life. Makes sense? Jesus is saying here is that spiritual life gives spiritual life. Life creates life. You don't get life from non-life. You don't get life from physical things. I used to sit by the beach. I used to do whatever I could, alcohol, relationships, playing music, to try to heal my soul. Now notice that alcohol, relationships, playing instruments, and standing by the beach are all physical things. They're gifts, but they're physical. What my heart needed was Him. He is spiritual. The Holy Spirit is spiritual. And my heart had a void of Him. See that? The world is running to physical things to fill the void. It's not physical things that you need. They're gifts, but they're not. You need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into your life by understanding the Word of God. So Peter says here, you're not born again because of perishable seed, like because of mom and dad. You're born again through the living and enduring Word of God. One translator said this could be translated through the words of the living God. So what he's saying is that when we hear Scripture, we're hearing the words of the living God. And that's why this is supernatural. We're connecting to the divine. We are connecting to the heart of God. We're connecting to something real. So when you hear a lie and you believe a lie, what a lie does is that a lie brings you into a false reality. If you believe a lie, you're not believing something true. But when you believe something true, you're stepping into reality. So this is saying that these are the words of the living God, who is alive, who is real, who can change lives. And so when you step into believing the words of the literal God who is alive and you believe, you can experience freedom and spiritual life. That's how that works. Through the living and enduring Word of God, people can become born again. That's why we preach the Word. That's why we talk about Jesus, because we're talking truth. We're talking life. We talk truth to our children because it gives life, because it's true. This is a crazy story. I read a book 25 years ago, and I was just like scratching my head, like, this is amazing. It was a book about 50 dudes that were in the ministry. Some of them had PhDs, and they were in the ministry for many, many years. And eventually, all 50 men came to a crisis. They were like, I think something's missing. I feel kind of dead inside. I feel like religion is just so bland. Something's missing. And they all had the bright idea, like, maybe I should read the Bible. Can you be in the religion, in clergy, in the ministry, and not read the Word? Yes. Can you be in the ministry and not born again? Yes. Because you're trusting the institution. You're trusting what people tell you. Does that make sense? So when you hear the words of God and you believe it, it's a book about 50 men who all 50 of them in Latin America, Europe, and America, they were exposed to the literal words of God and they believed. And something amazing happened. They became born again. And they begin to say things like, even though I don't see him, I love him. I have a joy I can't express. What is that? It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. So if you have love in your heart, courage in your heart, faith in your heart, you want to move a mountain, you know who that is? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you is saying, do it. Go for it. That's the Holy Spirit. The love you feel, that's the Holy Spirit. When you worship and you feel the presence of God, that's the Holy Spirit. The God that is with us can be in us through faith in Him. So the Word of God gives birth to the Spirit of God in our hearts, and we become a child of God. And this is such good news. I mean, Peter says something amazing here, which is the miracle now of being on mission with Him. Anything good we talk about, right? Anything good we share, hey, this is good news. Let's share it. So Peter ends about, look at verse 24, the miracle now of being on mission with Him. Peter quotes Isaiah 40, verse 8, and he says this, all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So he's using the scripture to back up the scripture that's saying, people perish. Our glory perishes. You know, I just keep it real. I love Tom Cruise. I can't believe he jumped off a mountain. Come on, like in a motorcycle? That's amazing. But someday at the end of Tom Cruise's life, we're going to say, boy, wasn't he a good actor. And that's it. That's his glory. That's it. That's it. But if you believe the word of God, you are stepping into now eternal things. You're believing something that is supernatural. And so if I quote this verse to you, if you've heard this verse growing up, you're like, yes, amen. But oftentimes it's not quoted fully. Let's look at it again. All people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. That's actually the verse. Look at verse 25 and 24. All people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. That's actually the verse. And this is the word that was preached to you. He's saying, how did you become Christians? How did you get born again? Somebody told you. Eureka. Somebody told you. Somebody preached to you. This book didn't stay on a shelf. Somebody told you. Someone preached to you. And this is actually the Greek word for evangelism. It's euangelizo, which means to preach, to declare a good message. Someone preached the good news. Someone preached the good message to you. And that's how you became born again. And so if we understand this now, wait a second. Okay, you're saying that Jesus stood in my place and paid my debt off so I could be forgiven. Yes. He rose from the dead to prove who he was. Yes. You're telling me that if I bow my knee to the Lordship of Jesus, the God that is always with me can come in me. Yes. And now, for the rest of your life, you have a mission to do. You can tell other people how to get born again. You can tell other people how to have this happen. You can be on mission with Him. You can give, you can go, you can fund this global mission so the whole world can know the true Lord and be born again. Isn't it amazing? So you're giving, when you say, go to this QR code and give to this, let me tell you where some of your money is going to kind of like lift your eyes and say, wow, that we're all on mission with Him. We're all on the same purpose. So when you give, this is some of where your giving is going. So at Michigan State University, Tanya and I have been there 13 years. There are 51,000 students there. There are people there from every county in Michigan, every state in the U.S., and over 100 countries. It's the largest mission field in Michigan. This is a recent picture of one of my former students sharing his faith. His name is Jace. He came to Christ in 2020, and now he's a young campus missionary, raised his support, and he's on the team with me, and he's sharing the gospel to a young man named Zach. And Zach is in process right now thinking about becoming a Christian, and he comes to our Tuesday night gatherings. It's amazing. We probably shared the gospel to maybe 150, 200 students this fall. This next picture is precious to me. It's a Chinese student getting witnessed to. I was in the International Center at MSU a few years ago, and I shared the gospel to this Chinese student, and just recently this year, he came up to me and said, "Hi, Aaron." I'm like, "Who are you?" Like, he remembered my name, I didn't remember him. But he sat down and let us share the gospel with him again. It was really cool. We had a few baptisms this year. We baptized people in the MSU pool. We didn't ask permission, we just did it. Jace was like, "Aren't you gonna ask permission?" I'm like, "No." It's a public place and a public pool, and we're going public. So there's the lifeguard, there's Indian students swimming bound, and we're just baptism and telling them their testimony and sharing what Christ has done in their life. This last picture about MSU is, her name is Mackenzie, and she just graduated with a nursing degree, and we met her a few years ago. She came to an event we had at campus. We had an apologetics event, Why Christianity is True. And crazy story, she was raised in Dearborn, in the Muslim area of Dearborn. Her parents never left Dearborn, so she went to the all-Muslim high school. All of her friends were Muslim. She came to MSU with Muslim roommates. Her roommates were Muslim. She was thinking about becoming a Muslim. She meets us. We give her the evidence for Christianity. She eventually says, "I think Christianity is true." And in Tanya's car, her and Tanya pray for her to receive Christ. And she becomes born again. And so she has a cross around her neck and Christ in her heart. And now she's back in Dearborn as a nurse, wanting to share the gospel to Muslim people there. So in 2020, as Pastor Randy said, we encountered this beautiful thing called Zoom. Whoa. And I'm like, I met a student at MSU and I said, "Hey, can we like Zoom in other countries?" She's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Can we Zoom in multiple countries at the same time?" She's like, "Yeah, let's do it." So we've been doing it ever since. And so these are some of the countries that we're currently working in. And so you know what Zoom is like, right? Man, did you know that you can have like hundreds of people at Zoom at the same time? And these people are from all over Africa. I'm seeing people in literal shacks, like tin shacks, with clothes hanging from their ceiling. That's all they have. And they're on their phones, and they have Facebook, and they have Zoom on their phones, and they buy data for their phone so they can Zoom with me. I've had people from the United Nations on there. I've had gift packages sent to me of coffee saying, "Thank you, Aaron, for what you're doing." I'll take it. I love coffee shipped right from Africa. It was the best coffee I ever had. This blew my mind. We're even in islands east of Madagascar. Did you know there's islands east of Madagascar? We have trained missionaries in Madagascar, and this island, Mauritius, has over 1 million people on it, and we have trained missionaries of how to share the gospel there, how to defend the gospel on the island of Mauritius over Zoom. I love this picture next from Eastern Uganda. There was a very zealous pastor that took our training, and then he turned around and found 100 people and helped go through the whole training, and this young man is holding his certificate. People in Africa don't get much education. So if they graduate from anything, they're very proud of it. And so he's holding this certificate, and I just got this, you know, Zoom and see this with him. One of the most touching things that just blows my mind is Southern Nigeria is Christian, Northern Nigeria is Muslim. And Christians are literally being killed right now in northern Nigeria. And we've been working with a pastor there now for 5 years who, that Facebook post that Pastor Randy posted, I know the man who's been involved in that for the last 5 years. And so when you posted that, he instant messaged me and said, America now is just waking up to what's been happening over there. And he's been a part of it now for 5 years. And he was being chased with machete, his church got burned down, and then he found us, and now he's safe, and now he's training people as well all across Africa without the fear of dying. And he has been so successful with our help that Tanya said I should share this, and I don't want to sound prideful, but just to show you the impact of what your giving is doing, he said, Aaron, all the good churches in Nigeria know who you are and what you're doing. What am I doing? I'm offering classes free to them. I'm offering them Bible training free, how to defend the faith for free. Because you guys give to me, I can turn around and now give freely to them. Isn't that beautiful? So this last picture is from Tanzania. And this pastor is named Johanna. He is going out and sharing his faith with Muslims. So here's a beautiful picture captured on camera of them witnessing to a Muslim and this Muslim coming to Christ. And he sent me this picture. I'm like, well, wait a second, Pastor Johanna. Like, didn't you like do this like before you met me? He's like, no, we didn't have the courage. We didn't know what to do. So now through the training and the encouragement, they're going out door to door, sharing the gospel. Muslims are coming to faith, and he's very encouraging, sending me pictures. So this morning, I'd like just like to close by saying, we can experience the miracle of being born of the Spirit. If your heart is dead, if you are going through the motions and you feel like something is missing, it probably is. It's him. You don't need more religion. You don't need more podcasts. You need to be born of the Spirit. Bow the knee to Jesus, and he'll come into your life. And by sharing the word of God, people can experience the love of God and become born again. And we do that through being on mission with him together. Isn't that beautiful? That we can touch the whole world. So I want to end with, this is our missionary card. You're welcome to take a picture of it. If you'd like to get one of ours before you leave today, I'd love to give you one. And thank you so much for all you do. Your giving is helping me, and I just want to say thank you. So, thank you. My better half gets to be up here.
She is. Yeah. Well, for our Missions Month, we've been praying each week for a missionary, and this week we get to pray for Aaron and his wife, Tanya. So if you would like to stand, if you're able, you can stretch out your arm if you'd like to. We just want to pray for these awesome people who are just loving the Lord and serving him. So Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. Grateful for Aaron and Tanya, that they continue to seek after you, that you continue to give them a hunger for you, that they are obedient to the mission that you have given them. Thank you, Lord, that they continue to go to work with students and minister to them and transform their lives by sharing the gospel. And thank you for Aaron's ministry and how it's reaching Africa and all of these churches, Lord, that your good news is being shared, that more people are coming to know you, that teachers are being trained so that they can be equipped to share the good news. That's awesome. That's what their ministry is about, and I thank you for their hearts, and I thank you for their marriage. I pray that you would strengthen them. Lord, thank you for Tanya's successful surgery, and we pray you would continue to heal her And we thank you that their family is growing, that they are grandparents now, and they get to experience that joyful stage of life. I pray that it is a blessing for them, and that you continue to bless their kids and strengthen their family. Protect them, Lord. Keep their family unit strong and rooted in you. Protect them from any attacks from the enemy. Let them continue to seek you and stand firm on the solid rock of Jesus. We love you, Lord. Please go before them, continue to equip them, and just be with them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.